From NPR News, I'm Tony Cox. The prospects for fair elections in Iraq next month have been taxed by ethnic tension and insurgent violence. The largest Sunni Muslim political party backed out of the election, undermining the credibility of that January 30th vote. Sunnis make up about 20% of the population in Iraq. Now add to the mix a new Osama bin Laden tape urging Iraqis to boycott the polls, and the pressure grows on the interim Iraq government and President Bush to postpone the elections.
It's the difference between the ability for individuals to express themselves and the willingness of an individual to try to impose his dark vision on the world, on the people of Iraq and elsewhere. And it's very important that these elections proceed.
President Bush spoke on Wednesday. Hannah Alam heads up the Knight Ridder News Service coverage of Iraq. She spoke with our Kyle McKinnon on the complications Iraqis face in the upcoming parliamentary election.
I think they're a little bit confused about the whole election process in general right now. I mean, I think there was a recent survey that showed that something like 75% of Iraqis still thought 7 weeks before the election that they're going to be voting for a president. So when you get into the very complicated process of how this vote is going to be conducted with slates of candidates rather than names on a ticket, et cetera, it really is quite confusing for sort of the ordinary residents here.
Can you offer some or any comparison at all to the way Americans view the electoral process to how things are being perceived there?
Just the other day, I was interviewing a group of secular candidates, and I was asking them this very question, and they were saying, Iraqi voters aren't interested in how bright someone's smile is, how tall he is, how well he's dressed, and that they really were going to focus on the history of this person, whether, you know, he or she stayed in the country during Saddam's regime or fled into exile, whether they were affiliated with any foreign intelligence services or the, you know, former regime. So, you know, they seem to be less interested, I suppose, in American voters and kind of some of the aesthetic traits of the candidates.
You mentioned a difference between those who fled into exile, sort of, and those who sort of stuck it out. How is that perceived, and how will voters look at those who have returned, I guess, from a long time away?
I think Iraqis generally do differentiate between different types of exiles. I mean, there are ones who fled to make money and further their education when their countrymen couldn't and stayed here under a repressive regime. And then there are exiles who fled because every member of their family had been killed and they knew they were next. And, you know, certainly Iraqis draw distinctions between the different types. And they also look at how the exiles return to Iraq. I mean, one of the most common phrases here on Baghdad streets is, "We won't vote for someone who came in on an American tank." And that just means anyone who came in with the American-led coalition. There have been a number of exiles who've returned sort of on their own and set up independent think tanks and political parties, some of which have been, you know, run in exile from London or the States for several years now. They're very sophisticated opposition parties.
Who are the candidates? What kind of people are they? And what sort of, secondarily, what sort of dangers do they face?
It can vary widely, even on one ticket. I mean, on this Shia list, for example, which actually includes some members of religious and ethnic minorities, it's not only Shia, but I mean, that list alone, they're very proud of saying that every third candidate on the list is a woman. There's not only the turbaned clerics, but there's the business-suited secularists. There are technocrats, there are professors. So, I mean, we've seen this much range on one list, and it definitely looks that way throughout all the slates.
Police and National Guardsmen oftentimes don't reveal their faces even, and I wonder how when there are dangers, and you have written about the dangers faced by Iraqis running for office, will they show their faces, and isn't that an important part of campaigning?
Sure, and that's what they said. You know, gosh, we live in a country where the police cover their faces, but I'm supposed to stick mine on a campaign poster and put it up for, you know, thousands and thousands of people to see. You know, already there have been the assassinations of three members of the Hezbollah movement here in Iraq, and it came the day after one of the victims announced his candidacy. And many political parties have told me they expect more such targeted killings. of people taking part in this process. And yeah, I think candidates will have to walk a fine line. They want to get out the vote. They're going to have to get their names and platforms out to voters. At the same time, they're just going to have to watch their backs, because this, you know, anyone on the ballot represents the latest target for insurgents.
Can this be a legitimate election if the Sunnis aren't involved?
Most people we ask say no. That if this is even perceived as disenfranchising the Sunnis, that gives the insurgency a reason to fight on, that, you know, whatever leadership comes into power will be left with a very disenchanted populace in a very dangerous part of the country, and that can only bring more trouble. So I think that if strong measures aren't taken to either ensure the Sunni vote or really think twice about maybe delaying it for a while, I think otherwise we'll have more problems here.
That again was Knight Ridder Baghdad Bureau Chief Hannah Alam speaking from NPR's Baghdad offices to our producer Kyle McKinnon.